Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Good morning or good evening. Good afternoon, David, and
good afternoon.
To the guest. David, I went to Popular and Spooner's Hill around 9 o'clock this morning. It was packed with people. If they had to social distance like they needed to do, like I really need to be protected because I'm alone in my house and I'm making sure. All I needed was five things at the most. But I think that it was not well organized. And on behalf of the government, I think they should have given people 72 hours. And I'll tell you why. Not everybody has a $2,000 check that can go out there and buy what they wanted a month ago. Because some people didn't even wait for it to get here, like me. We knew it was in other parts of the world, and we knew it would eventually get here.
It's David.
Okay?
Dennis, I just want
hold
to
hold on. No, let me.
Just hold on, please. Caller?
I just want to.
Yes. Minister, go ahead.
I just want to say to the caller, I really do understand the concern. I want to, first of all, let her know that there is in this country enough food in Barbados that will be accessible to people over the coming weeks and months. But we have to do it in an orderly and in a responsible manner. The first thing I want to reiterate is that this virus, as I said yesterday, is not playing. It is taking lives of people. It is capturing hundreds of thousands of people all across the world, and Barbados is no different. And I can tell you that the number of cases in Barbados has now continued to rise. This morning, the chief medical officer has reported to me that they have recorded an additional 6 new positive tests for the coronavirus. Barbadians, we are now over the 50 mark. What more is it going to take to get Barbadians to sit up and take stock? I understand the concern, but now is not the time to finger point and say whether the government acted swiftly or it didn't act swiftly. We need, as a country, to stand up against the lawlessness in society. There's no dispute that we have done all of the messaging that we had to get to the various demographics in our society. And this is not a test of the government of Barbados. We have passed many tests, economic and other ways. But this is a challenge for Barbados and for Barbadians. Can we do this or can we not do this? And can Barbados contain and overcome COVID-19? I say, yes, we can. But we can't do it in a state of panic. We must do it in a state of calm with the reassurance to the people of Barbados that this is the right thing at the time. I said before, David, and to the caller, we have taken on board in the break the concerns expressed. We've looked at the numbers and stuff that are out there. We've said instead of shutting down at the 5 p.m. and businesses being able to determine their hours a bit earlier to meet the curfew at 6, we've given the extension to allow the curfew to now kick in at 8 p.m. But I want to appeal to Barbadians. We can do no better at this point in time. If we could, we certainly would have done so then. Okay?
Well, that's sobering information that you just presented there. Yes.
David?
Yes.
All I'm saying is I was managed. Trust me. I got there at 9 o'clock. By 10 o'clock, I had what I wanted. Those lines, if they were distancing themselves, would have gone all the way up to Warren's Massey or all the way downtown if they did distance, and I wasn't getting in that line. I asked 3 police officers, they don't know. All they know is that the line starts at the end. I said, but aren't they making it short, convenient for the pensioners and the disabled and for the essential people, essential service providers? Isn't there another line? There's no sign. There's no nothing. You're just telling me to get to the back of the line.
Okay.
Well, I walked around, and someone came out, took my order, took my money, went inside, and brought me back what I wanted within 10 minutes.
All right. Well, thank you very much for drawing it to our attention. But this situation has created another one. Here it is. The Minister of Energy and Water Resources, Wilfred Abrams, is appealing to the public to stop hoarding liquid petroleum gas cylinders, LPG cylinders. Mr. Abrams stated, currently, the LPG marketers have adequate supplies of gas to service the market for several weeks. In addition, regular ships are scheduled to replenish supplies, and these supplies are expected to continue without interruption. He goes on to say that the hoarding of cylinders by the public creates unnecessary stress on the systems, as it contributes to a shortage of bottles for refilling and distribution. He added that the sale of LPG cylinders will be restricted to one cylinder per person, effective immediately. The public is also asked to return empty bottles to gas stations as soon as possible. This is down to brass tacks. Good afternoon. I was just making the observation that 52 cases is just showing you the where this is going in Barbados. And really and truly, you really, everything needs to be done to try to contain the spread of this virus. And it is for us a real worry to have 52 cases now. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, hello.
You're on the air.
Hello?
You are on the air.
Hi, I just want to make a suggestion. I don't have a criticism.
Yeah, we encourage suggestions. We are not all about criticism, you know.
Okay, good. So, the supermarket. The supermarket should remain open. Let's be honest. Not everybody is going to be able to buy everything they need for the 2 weeks. And the system, which I think can work for both the supermarkets and the banks, is a call-in or email system in which you place your order, and then they will assign you a time and call and tell you when you can come and pick up your order. If you do it in the alphabetical way, someone who is down by the Z in the alphabet might need groceries before someone who is in the A and the B section. So I might not need groceries. I went shopping. I haven't left my house for 3 weeks now, but I did 2 deliveries, and now they have stopped, so I can't do any more deliveries. But I have 5 people in my house, and as much as I'm trying to control the way we're all eating, we still have to eat. And I am going to need groceries soon. So closing the supermarkets for 2 weeks, some people are going to starve.
I don't think, if you had listened to the program earlier, you would have heard the acting prime minister say that discussions are ongoing with the relevant parties to work out a schedule here that will not necessarily see them close for 2 weeks.
Right, I was making a suggestion so you didn't have the deliveries, because that would put a burden on the bottom line for the supermarkets if they have to deliver to people.
Yeah, somebody said, excuse me a minute, somebody says there's this beep is an annoying beep. I don't know what is causing it, so we will have to work with it as it is. My apologies. Yes, ma'am, you were saying.
That's okay. I have been hearing it for a while now.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying that it would put a burden on the bottom line for people, for supermarkets, if they have to do the deliveries. But if you have a system where the supermarket assigns a time for the person to come and collect their groceries, then it's an in-and-out system. Because the people inside the groceries, the employees will package the groceries for the person, and they will show up, let's say, at 3:30. They would either have paid online, or they pay when they get there. But it's just them and the supermarket. There's no line, there's no crowd, and they go away, and the next person shows up, say, 5 minutes later. And not everyone is going to need groceries all the time like that. People are hoarding the stores right now because they're afraid of the 2 weeks that they won't have groceries. But if you have a system such like that, then the supermarkets would remain open only for the employees to do the stocking, the packaging, and then people can come down at their allotted times and collect their groceries.
Okay.
I just want to reiterate to the caller that, you know, again, in every other country where there has been a shutdown, provision has always been made thereafter for limited access to the supermarkets, for deliveries, for e-commerce. Barbados is no different. And I just want to let you reassure you that all of these things are being considered. As I said before, you may not have heard it because you may not have joined in late, but we're in discussions with the various stakeholders with a view to now working through all of these issues to ensure that the supermarkets can be able to deliver to the people. People can call in, whether online or whether they call on the phone, and that we put systems that are safe for the workers who will obviously, their staff are going to still have to come back out, or we're going to have, you know, delivery persons to have to do it. We have to put the necessary protocols in place to be able to ensure that people are compliant with those protocols as well. But I think, again, this is in the best interest of all to be able to bring Barbados to a halt, allow for us to manage the situation and to contain the cases that we have presently. And just for clarity, one of the persons of the six was someone who was actually retested. So I guess you can say it is five new cases, but one person that was retested would have tested positive.
Pardon me? What was that last point?
There are six cases, yeah. But there are five persons who are new. And yeah. One of those persons out of the remaining person would have tested, would been retested for COVID.
So our total numbers would therefore be?
40.
We began at 46 this morning, right? So then you have, based upon this, these additional ones here, but when you throw in this this angle here with a retest.
An additional five would put it at 51.
51. Right, 51. But one, I'm just making a point that one of them is actually a person who was retested.
Okay. Well, and okay. when you say retested.
Can I answer that, David?
Expand.
So if someone is in the system that we are treating, we require two consecutive negative tests before that person is discharged. Just to ensure that the person is free of the virus. So all of the persons who are currently in isolation are being tested periodically to determine if they are free of the virus. So what we would have had is a report of the number of positive tests. So this would be someone who has recorded the positive test but is still currently in isolation.
Okay.
So it's not a new case.
Okay, thanks. And I think I've figured out why we were getting the beep. Once somebody puts their particular call on hold, it causes a beep in the system. So one of the three, I believe it might have been you, Richard Carter, you might have been off the line. And once you are off the line and you put your call on hold, it will create a beep through on the air. So we need to try to avoid that. Thanks very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Good afternoon. One quick question to the panel. There are those supermarkets pharmacies that who also sell other items, right?
Yes.
General items. Are they restricted from selling those items? Or they could just sell from the pharmacy?
Are the pharmacies restricted from selling items other than what are seen as pharmaceuticals?
We haven't placed any restrictions on the pharmacies as to what they sell. So they can sell. We've said that the pharmacies can sell. The pharmacies are open.
Okay.
So there's no restriction presently on what they sell.
Okay, right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello. Well, I'm still getting the beep, so something else is at work here. It's not as strong as before, but it's still there. Hello.
Hello, brass tacks?
Yes, brass tacks. How can I help?
David, I just want to make a comment. You didn't say it wasn't all criticism, so I'm calling him from New York, Orlando. The attorney general did a good job here.
Come speak into the phone directly because you sound a little off mic. Not the best.
I had you on speaker, that's why. I'm sorry, David.
Okay.
Yeah, you said it's not all criticism, so I'm calling from New York here to congratulate Dale Marshall and the acting prime minister. I think you're doing a good job.
And what aspect of the job would you consider to be good?
The way you come to the media and let people know the awareness what's going on in a timely manner, I would think, because I listen to Brass Tacks a lot. I think he's doing a good job of letting the public know what's going on. And he seems sincere about it.
Yeah, well, I have somebody else here who's saying that they applaud the government's transparency on the matter. It's a difficult time, and you know, you're going to find yourself in a situation where the choices that you make, there will always be alternative perspectives on those choices, and that's where we are. We have to entertain the praise and the criticism as well, and to take that criticism, the government certainly has to take the criticism in a way that says, look, if we've done something wrong, then you've got to improve on it. So I hope that is the vein in which...
Yeah, I criticized Bill Barker before on different matters, but this one, he's doing a hell of a good job, I must tell you.
All right, well, let's get some other views.
Before with appointments and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling. What, you're calling from New York, though. You need to tell me what's happening there.
And I was supposed to come into Barbados on the 21st, like council, and the stores are designed along. But I'm retired now, so I just went up today to get a couple more stuff. But everything. The mayor said to wear a mask now. You know, everybody should wear a mask now or something covering their face.
Yes.
Things is rough. The next 2 weeks is going to tell. That's going to be the story. Getting worse.
Well, that's what the president of the United States said, too.
Yeah. I've had some friends of mine in the hospital in coma, but I can't confirm yet.
Okay.
The guy PG, he died.
Yes.
So it's a bad situation. I think it passed me because I was sick at the end of January. So I think I did it. You moved to it, though.
Okay.
That's a joke. All right.
All right. Well, thanks for calling. And, you know, let the people in New York know. The Barbadians outside of this country, that we are praying for them and as concerned about them as we are for the people who are living here. Down to brass tacks. Hello. Yes,
David. Sorry.
Yes.
Richard. I just wanted to say that I think the Prime Minister and the Attorney General may have been inadvertently disconnected. So we're trying to have them reconnected again. And not to stop your calls, but the contribution from the caller from New York is really important in the sense of reminding us that we have before us images of what the future holds if we continue not to follow the rules that are being put in place. We are seeing what is happening in New York. We are seeing what is happening in Italy and Spain. So we are not going at this blind. We have an image of what the future holds of this disease if we are not disciplined.
Well, thanks for drawing that particular point to our attention. I have, you know, looked at it as an issue that is not centered on Barbados alone. It is very important that we keep foremost in the minds of the Barbadian public what's happening here, but how the disease is spreading in other countries as well. And the United States is one that we can relate to very easily because of all the contacts that we have with that country. And then further on is what's happening in Spain and what's happening in Italy. And, you know, in Barbados, because of our demographics, we have to be exceedingly concerned. The rate of spread in Barbados as the COVID czar, how do you feel about that?
We are very concerned because, as I said, I believe it might have been in another forum, we have actually engaged the University of the West Indies, which has a number of epidemiologists and public health specialists, to do some modeling for us. And what those numbers show is very, very scary and very concerning.
What are they showing?
So, well, they're showing the potential for hundreds of deaths if we do not apply the discipline associated with physical distancing, apply the discipline with the protocols that we've been setting out. Now, models are just that. They're models, and they're not predictors, but they do give you a sense of what potentially could happen. And we have seen it actually happen in some of these places. The previous caller spoke about New York. New York has doubled the number of cases within the space of about a week. So that kind of exponential trajectory is a trajectory we've seen played out time and time again all over the world. And it is because of this, it's because of knowing what is ahead of us if we don't exercise discipline that we have to take the measures. Now, one of the previous callers suggested that we should have given Barbadians a week. We know that a day is causing a week's loss of time in terms of grappling with the epidemic. We've seen it repeatedly. And we do not have a week to give. We do not have a week to give to this epidemic, because the consequences of being overrun with healthcare systems that we have, though they are good, they are not infinite. And we've seen first world countries overrun in terms of their capacity. We are seeing in New York, they're talking about maybe 6 days left in terms of their burn rate on ventilators. And we're talking about a time when supply chains are cut off, which makes us even more vulnerable in terms of us getting in the supplies that are necessary to manage this.
Well, is there a conscious decision to try to withhold from the Barbadian public the specifics of what the epidemiologists are saying? Are you afraid that that will panic us?
No, I said the numbers are in the hundreds of what can happen. The epidemiologists, with all that they've done, they're constantly changing and remodeling based on information that as it evolves, because we are in the infancy, so to speak, of the epidemic. And people who do this type of modeling have to constantly revise the models based on the information that is being plugged into the system, because you only get out of the system information as accurate as what you plugged in. I also want to say, David, that we have to be careful when we are comparing the numbers of cases that we are seeing in some places. Barbados is testing at a much more aggressive and comprehensive rate than perhaps any other country in the Caribbean. I've seen figures that suggest that Barbados is testing about twice as many persons per capita as Trinidad, about probably seven or eight as many times per capita as Jamaica. So our testing, we have conducted, I believe it is probably close to 400 tests for COVID-19. So our rate of testing, and therefore our likelihood of identifying persons who are ill, is quite enhanced because of the degree of testing that we are doing.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks.
Hello?
Yes. Hello.
Hello, is this brass tacks?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. I just want to give my contribution. And we have all the powers that be back online listening. They said they lost the connection to the Prime Minister issue.
We're trying to get her back.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
The Prime Minister as well, and everybody. Okay, good. All right. Well, we know time is short. Everybody want to get in their bit, so I'm going to be very brief. I just want to say the sudden news of, you know, just like the shutdown, that is very, very hard on the public. Now, we heard everything that the gentleman before said, and we understand that this is serious time. This is nothing to play around with. But I also want to say, in doing that, we must be mindful of the culture. We must be mindful of our country. We must be mindful of the people that we're living and working amongst. And we're seeing everything happening in New York and everywhere else. For this situation, this warrants a day or two. I agree with the gentleman before, and please apologize. I apologize if I don't remember all the names in the correct order.
That was Mr. Carter.
Mr. Carter,
yeah.
I understand a week would be too much. We are dealing with severe times. This is pressuring times. This is no joke. But we are dealing with a group of people, which you know, and I know from our foreparents, our parents, everybody around, that these are people that warrant a little bit of update. You can't just spring one minute I'm hearing one thing tonight. This is an update. We're going to change this. In the morning, I hear this. We're going to change that. 2 minutes after I'm here, we're going to change that. I really don't know where's the real thing now.
So it sounds as though the government lacks a clear plan and is in a state of confusion. That's what you're saying.
That's right. Lacks a clear plan. We do understand that measures have to change drastically, suddenly, because of the situation. We've never had nothing in the world like this before. But I hear something 2 nights ago, and I hear something in the morning. Then 12 o'clock yesterday, heard something. I really don't know what's going on.
Well, let the acting Prime Minister speak to you on
I'll
that.
I'll just say this bit.
And yeah, I think, caller, before you go on, I think it is important that you appreciate that the dynamics of this situation are such that they're constantly changing. And we therefore have to respond, just as every other country in the world has had to respond to this situation as it changes. And we keep reiterating to the public to keep listening to all of the releases, to keep staying in touch with what is happening, not to be listening to any of the fake news, but to be paying attention carefully to what the government is saying, because things will continue to change as the statistics may unfold.
Okay, so it is not, so we understand that, you know, it's not norm business as usual. We understand that people do not want to change the way in which they are accustomed to shopping. But we would not do this in ordinary times. And what I just want to reinforce to you, these are not ordinary things that we're dealing with.
All right. And while I do understand that, I'll let you go now. While I do understand that, that's what I clearly stated at the beginning of this statement. These are not ordinary times. But you also must be reminded that you are a government. We are looking to you. And while that you are a government, but yet human beings, we are looking for you to guide us and to further implement confidence and calm in us and stability. So while these are not ordinary times, I ask you, and you can probably look into it, you probably have made a decision and will stand by it, but you cannot enforce in less than 24 hours that we are going to have a shutdown. There is mass panic out there. People are more dying and at the hospitals from stress, panic attacks and all of that from this. Well, we know that they don't want to change their culture, but they have to be gradually put into this, although these are not ordinary times. A week will be too long to give them notice. 2 to 3 days, that's it. And you make it abundantly clear, like what you did on the news, and keep us up to date, like you are doing constantly. But you have to give us a little time. Not today, where these supermarkets are bowed down, where everybody jumping on top of each other, and we look like we get there. No, that is not the way to do it. At appropriate time, 2 days. That's it. Make it clear. Repeat it. Send it on the radio. Keep doing your updates. But not this way. That is not the way. I am telling you. Should this continue, it will not end well on the BLP. You can take my word for it.
Caller, thank you guys for listening.
Caller, before you go, I
appreciate your concern. I really, really do. And I think you are sharing the concerns of average Barbadians. I just want to reinforce you again. We would not take these measures if the situation did not warrant it. But as you said earlier in the program, we've had additional cases. We're also in a situation where we're balancing all of the variables from day to day. It is not going to be a situation where we can update, you know, in the news every single night, because there are dynamics that change constantly that require us to reflect and to devise plans to be able to manage the situation. What I urge Barbadians to do is to stay in touch with the respective media houses, to look for the reliable sources so that they can get the information from government as it is released, rather than jumping to conclusions. We have your best interest at heart, but again, we would not take these measures if it was not absolutely necessary. Someone just sent me something from Ontario showing me lines at supermarkets in the state of Ontario, reinforcing to me as well that, you know, the same thing is happening across the world in large countries. If you look in the Caribbean, you're seeing the same thing, the same patterns manifesting itself. I even have noticed that there have been situations where the countries have shut down, but 2 or 3 days later, they've reopened. They've reopened with guidelines. They didn't announce to the public that they were going to take these measures. We are actually talking the country through the fact that in a few days or so, we may have to take a different course of action. And at each time, we are consulting with the various stakeholders. We're listening to the public to see how we can basically adjust what we may have implemented. It is a very fluid situation. And I think you understand. I know it may be an inconvenience, but I really appeal to Barbadians to appreciate what we're going through at this point in time.
You know, Acting Prime Minister, some of my colleagues in journalism wanted you to expand on this allegation that you made that the media was carrying fake news. Was that a slip of the tongue, or was that a real assessment?
I think the media perhaps should join with me in recognizing that there's a lot of fake news in the media generally. And media nowadays, I mean, Barbados' media is not what it used to be. Media generally across the world is not what it used to be. We are in an age of technology where information is shared quickly. Sometimes it's not the best information. It's not the most accurate information. My warning was to Barbadians to look for the reliable media sources. I mentioned the Government Information Service because guaranteed, that is obviously the first source for which, as Prime Minister, acting, that I would obviously seek to be able to get confirmed information of any facts through. But it was not a disrespect of any media houses, and I think instead of having a narrow interpretation of what I said, I would hope that the association would rather look at the fact that, you know, they're also up against competing interests.
You mean social? So you meant social media? Were you referring to
social media specifically,
as distinct from the media in general?
The Advocate, the Caribbean Broadcasting, the Nation newspaper, Barbados Today, all of our media houses are doing a fantastic job in getting the message across to the people of this country. You know, this is a simple case that it is not, you know, pointing a finger at any of you, because you and the public, it is fair to say it's not you. But I think you're also well aware that there was a situation just a few days ago where someone attempted online to be able to put out in circulation a directive referring to a shutdown and tampering with the official gazette. Now, I want that the media houses will denounce that action and denounce the persons who are behind that, as we as a government have sought to do. Because those types of things create the hysteria. They create the panic in the population. And it is obviously negligent on the part of any person or any media host or any social media person to be able to use the communication mechanism to create that sort of panic. So when I spoke of fake news, it was against the context that just the day before, we had been battling with the directive circulating online. My phone was bombarded with messages asking if it was true. Okay? So it is not a case of the current existing media houses to which I was referring, but I was warning Barbadians, please look to reliable media in order to get your information. If it has been taken out of context, I sincerely apologize. But it was never intended to be that way. And I think the media who interface with me through all of the issues in education know that I do not in any way disrespect them. When they ask me questions, I'm probably one of the most open and honest when it comes to any information, because I believe that the people have a right to know and that we must be transparent and we must also be accountable. So it would never be a disrespect of the media houses in this country.
Because it must be said that notwithstanding the particular incident that you spoke about where somebody got up to mischief and went to elaborate means to get up to that mischief, overall, mainstream media in Barbados has not been identified as being involved in that kind of behavior. And I think I've seen it right across the board, because I have to deal with the people who compete against us as well. And I think that, you know, it is unfortunate that it came across as though it was a slur against mainstream media, when indeed we have been the ones that you can rely upon to get more credible information. So thank you very much for the clarification. This is down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Good afternoon. How do I, an average person, determine if and if fair news or not, especially if it have not been spoken about before, and this fake news come out, and when it comes out, it sounds so convincing. How would I know?
Well, that's not for you to deal with, you know. It's for the media houses to deal with it. You should, first of all, well, I see information online, and I see that it is attributed to certain organizations that I've never seen or heard about before. The first thing I do is I go and I look to see whether that organization really exists or not. And then I look to see who else has carried that information and whether they are reputable organizations. That's our job. We are supposed to make sure that, you know, we carry authentic stuff. Now, in the case where somebody fiddles with the letterhead of a government letterhead or whatever, and it comes to the media, it is going to be interpreted as authentic. As long as it comes, I suppose you see it in your email and it looks official. So now that we have had that particular incident, we would certainly be put on guard that we may very well have to check with somebody within the agency that it is supposed to have come from to verify that they did indeed send it, and to look for more details, you know. Perhaps if there's a number on it, call back the number and verify that that is the case. So you have to rely upon the media house to do that kind of filtering for you.
Yeah, but sometimes the media house don't come out right away.
You will have to wait until.
I am also talking about these situations where people send out voice notes and they send out videos and they send out things that are intended to create panic. all I'm saying to you is that those are the situations that we're asking Barbadians to desist from.
This is social media issues and computer misuse and that sort of thing. Correct. You know?
Yeah. Next thing, right? Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, next thing, this social distance. I saw people bunch up together. I don't know if people are not understanding how serious this thing is. Even traveling on public transportation like ZRs and transport board buses where people are bunched up together. From what I see, if this thing continues, that's why I support the shutdown. If this thing was allowed to continue, if it's in the country, there'd be some serious, serious trouble. So on that point, I agree with shutting it down because you haven't had a choice.
The problem here is this, Ms. Bradshaw. When the information came out that it was fake news, it turned out that eventually you came to the country and made a statement that made it seem as though it was authentic information in the first place. The timing. You may recall that?
But that was more coincidence than anything else. and obviously we had to use our own sources through the Government Information Service to let the country know that that information was incorrect, that the document had actually been tampered with, because the official gazette would appear online, and somebody also obviously took the time to download the document and do whatever was necessary to manipulate it to be able to create a panic in the country. Now, the person who authored it may very well have anticipated what was coming based on the Czar's comments a few days before. But it was in no way intended that, you know, we would have created that type of panic in the country by putting it out in that medium.
Of course, the government itself, by its own actions now, is accused of creating even greater panic.
And, you know, we would be accused of many things. But I think when we look at this situation in a couple of weeks and a couple of months and a couple of years, I'm sure we will reflect on this as a learning curve in Barbados as well. Yeah. There is no Bible. There is no precedent. There is nothing that we can pull from. Every country across the world, every government is trying to respond to this situation because it is new. We don't have a cure for this virus.
Let me ask you. We had this situation with the AIDS epidemic years ago. There were processes that were put in place in terms of public information and that sort of thing. Are we being told essentially that because that happened 35 years ago, there's nothing coming out of that experience that's relevant to what's happening today? Whatever happened to the processes and mechanisms that were put in place at that time, were they totally irrelevant to today?
I think it's a different time, and I think the fact that with HIV AIDS, obviously you're dealing with a sexually transmitted disease. The messaging was obviously a bit different. I remember there was a phase with HIV where the authorities went through a battle as to how to get the message across. They used billboards. They told people to wrap it up. Then they went on to messaging about absenteeism. Again, because as information became available, some of the messages were not working. So I don't think the time is any different in terms of how we have to respond, because we are recognizing that some sectors in the society are listening, other people are not.
Did we revisit any of that? Did we revisit any of it, or did we discard it because we said it was a sexually transmitted disease and that was different?
No, but David, we're using all of the mechanisms to get the public to be educated about what is happening. I mean, the Czar can speak to it more in terms of all of the steps we've taken. Yeah, but go on, Richard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so David, I sat on the National HIV Commission, and I basically worked on doing a lot of the design and development, the kind of knowledge, attitudes, and perception surveys that helped to guide us through the HIV epidemic.
Yeah.
And now finding myself back into a situation where I am offering the government the best advice I can in relation to the measures that are taken in public health epidemics. And that is also based on the experience that I had most recently in Sierra Leone. And I can say to you that nothing that we have learned over the course of even the past 100 years, even going back to the great epidemic, the pandemic, Spanish flu, that ravaged the country 100 years ago, the globe. Nothing in all of that learning is being discarded, because we are dealing with a situation where We take the best in terms of what we have available, the knowledge that we have available. So you would have seen that some of the approaches that we've taken in terms of communicating with the public and the diversity of messaging that we've used, some of that has actually been borrowed from our approach that has been taken in other places. The large proportion of the listening public may not even be aware of some of the things that we are doing in terms of segmented outreach because they simply do not live in that kind of social space. But we know that we have persons who are designing and disseminating messaging, targeting to, let's say, the under 18 population in Barbados, who by their lifestyle and by their modes of interaction are significantly different from, let's say, someone 5 or 6 years older. So today's 16-year-old is very, very different in terms of where he gets his information or she, how they process that information from today's 26-year-old who is just 10 years different. Yes. So we've not discarded anything. We have sought to cull the best from what we've learned from previous approaches and use that in terms of informing how we go forward.
Okay, let's take one more call before we end today's edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Hello. Yes, welcome. Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Yes.
Well, I was trying to get through to ask two questions.
You got through.
Well, one question is...
Hurry up and ask the question, because you're listening to yourself.
Good afternoon.
Go ahead, ask the question.
I wanted to know if these people are having... These people that are doing the PPE suit, if they are having a bath when they are finished when they take off their PPE suit.
Yeah, and what's the next question?
And the next question is, why did the government take so long to be testing people when they enter the country?
Okay. Who's going to take that question?
David?
Yes.
Yeah, so as far as PPE is concerned, let me assure everyone who is listening that the persons who are using PPE would first have had to go through a rigorous process of training in relation to how you put on, how you take off, and how you dispose of PPE. And public health officials, thank God, so far, we've not seen a single public health official engage in the treatment of persons fall ill with COVID-19, and we hope that can continue. In relation to, I believe the second question was why they took so long on, in relation to testing. Let us be clear, we do not test people who enter the country. They are screened. Basically, the screening involves taking their temperature, doing a travel history assessment, and doing an assessment of risk that is carried out by our public health officials. And if those investigations suggest that the person has a history that places them at risk, then they would have been placed in quarantine. Let me further add that the government has decided that every single person entering Barbados, regardless of port of entry or regardless of port of exit, is required now to go into mandatory quarantine.
Well, I think that's where we're going to wrap up this program. I know that you all have a lot more questions, but, you know, there's a limit to how far we can go. We've been here for a considerable time trying to field some of these questions. I want to thank the Acting Prime Minister, Santia Bradshaw, the COVID-19 Czar, Richard Carter, and Attorney General Dale Marshall for joining us on this program and answering questions on a day where you really, really needed to have these responses. I am absolutely sure that it may be necessary over this weekend also to have something that is similar to this. I don't know, possibly working on Sunday with Brass Tacks. I think that we have a plan already for Brass Tacks Sunday, but we're going to be flexible depending upon what the need is given what has happened here. Thanks also to Ronnie Clark, my technical operator and producer for today. To those of you whose questions weren't asked and you didn't get any answers to them, my sincere apologies, but we have a situation here where we couldn't ask everything. There is a bit of information that I want to share with you once I get it, as it relates to how the people who are nursing, auxiliary nurses and people who are doing private nursing. What about the passes and that sort of thing? We're going to try to get some of that information on the air for you. So you just stay tuned. Keep listening to Voice of Barbados as we continue to try to keep you as informed as we can on COVID-19. I'm David Ellis. Do have a great afternoon and a pleasant weekend.